This is Ben Landisman with Lawson Screen and Digital Products.
This is Deborah Sexton.
This is Peter Walsh with M&R.
Scott Ritter with the Decorated Apparel Expo.
And you are listening to Two Regular Guys
Podcast.
Podcast.
It's hosted by Terry Combs and Aaron Montgomery.
A gift to the industry.
All right. Well, welcome into the show. It is Friday, September 18th, 2020. I'm Terry Combs. You can find me at terrycombs.com.
And I'm Aaron Montgomery, and you can find me at rsuccessgroup.com. Today, Terry and I are turning over the mics. We're going to go, here you go. We're going to virtually turn over the mics today to Christine Shreve and her guests, Kelly DeFries, who is the Crystal Ninja, and Debbie Milkey of Sports Kids Limited. So we are going to have a wonderful discussion today about encouraging people to get into business and along those lines. Julie Hansberry was going to be joining us today, but she's feeling a little under the weather and lost her voice. So we are wishing her a very speedy recovery. Julie, if you're getting to tune in, and we'd love to have you back when you're feeling a little bit better. So looking forward to this, Terry. It's going to be a exciting program, and I always learn a ton when we get to sit back and be regulators ourselves, basically.
Exactly right. And when you're speaking of being under the weather, there are a lot of things you can fake when you're an entrepreneur and you're feeling ill, but podcasting and no voice is one of those things you just cannot do. So
yeah, that doesn't work out so well. So poor Julie would have just had to sit there and so again, we wish her a speedy recovery. Looking forward to getting a chance to talk to her a little bit later on. Terry, so let's jump right into some of the new stuff, and then we can get our advertisement played and get out of the way and turn this over to Christine. But real quick, Terry, we got an email after last week's program from Christopher De Michelle, and I'm just guessing at the last name. Terry tried to help me out, but I'm sure I'm blowing it.
I sounded it out.
Yeah, he did. He did, and I'm still sure I missed it. But anyhow, Christopher had reached out after last show to say he heard a story of a two-year-old not being allowed on a plane without a mask. I think that came up during the show. He said it might be interesting for us to share a new COVID picture book with links with our listeners. Basically, it talks to kids about wearing masks. If you print masks, we have a link to it on LinkedIn, and you can check it out right there. Eric put it up in the comments for us right there. So LinkedIn, check that out. It's a pretty interesting little book. So yeah, worth sharing at least, Terry. So
yeah, I thought so too. And it might be kind of a neat little thing for anybody, like you said, Aaron, who are doing masks and something they might want to share with some of their customers, especially if you sell to schools, that sort of thing. So sure. Daycares.
Definitely worthwhile. So we appreciate Christopher sending that over to us. Terry, what about you? What news do you have there for us?
Well, ST Media Group, and for anybody who doesn't know, that's a company in Cincinnati. They publish a lot of printing type books. They've certainly published one of my books in the past. They have been acquired by Smart Work Media. And that announcement was yesterday, and the sale of SD Media Group International, all related assets go to SmartWork Media, a leading U.S. business-to-business content provider. The acquisition of SD Media brands is a strategic initiative to integrate intellectual property of both organizations to create a more dynamic media company that is well-positioned to meet the evolving needs of marketers in each respective industry. So, yeah. Aaron, you have an announcement to make.
I do have an announcement to make. We announced it last week, but just a reminder for everybody that tonight is our next Decorators Community Party. It's happening at 7 p.m. Central Time and the center of the universe time, right, Terry?
Exactly. I was just going to say that.
Sorry, I stole your thunder there. But if you'll go over to tworegularguys.com/party, and that'll have the link that you go to just at whatever 7 Central Time is in your world, then just head there and you can click on that link to the Zoom party and come on in. And, you know, if you have an adult beverage, great. If you don't, no problem. It's just a great opportunity to chat, talk, just what we always did at trade shows, Terry, you know, that exactly. We got done with the long week of, you know, trade show and the whole thing. And we'd all meet at the hotel lobby bar and just kind of decompress, you know? So exactly. We've been excited to do these kind of decorators community parties. I think this is the eighth one, Terry.
Wow. Really?
Yeah.
Well, you know, a lot of interesting conversations have sprung out of those, and a lot of industry things. And hey, we also learned about Dairy Queen and Dilly Bars.
So. Dilly Bars and vamp and vampires and
yes, all we definitely talked about vampires.
It's a lot of fun. Now, real quick, Terry, I am actually going to miss the very first part of it. My wife is going to be filling in for me because my son has his first volleyball game tonight, and only one spectator is allowed into the gym while they have their volleyball game. So he wants me to go with him, and I certainly don't want to miss out on that. So right. I'll be taking him to that, and then as soon as we're done, I'll be coming back and jumping on with everybody. We tend to go for a little while, so even if you don't make it right at 7, I've had people go, "Oh shoot, I missed it," and I respond to their Facebook post and go, "Well, we're still doing it, so come on over." So anyhow, that's happening tonight. One last thing before we get to the dad joke that I know Christine is waiting for. I know she can't wait for this, but if you do have any news that you would like us to share in this segment here, just email us at info@tworegularguys.com. And, you know, if it's something that, yep, to the number 2, there you go. I love it. Thanks, Terry. Yeah. You know, if it's something that we think the regulators will get some value from, we're happy to share it. Send that over to us. And are you ready, Terry? Are you?
I'm ready to hear your dad joke.
All right. This is from my 9-year-old. So it, you know, but it's an excellent joke. I really enjoyed it. So hopefully you guys do as well. Okay. What was left after the cheese factory blew up?
What was left, Aaron?
Debris.
For our podcast listeners, B-R-I-E.
Yes, yeah. My son had to explain that. He wanted to explain it to me. You know, that's a type of cheese, Dad. I'm like, yeah, I know, I get it.
Hey, Aaron, next week, Marcia Derryberry from Action Engineering has submitted her dad joke. So we'll be sharing that one.
Awesome. Excellent. Thank you. Yeah, there's another thing you can submit to us. We love Lisa Shaw's always been a great inspiration for dad jokes as well. So
indeed.
We've enjoyed that. So.
All right. Well, Aaron, before we dive in any further, we want to thank everyone for checking out the Two Regular Guys podcast. If you are listening to the podcast version, we would appreciate you sharing with your friends so they can become regulators too. Plus, we would love and appreciate you giving us a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, or wherever it is you're listening. We are always looking for new guests. If you or anyone would like to join us, go to calendly.com/2 regular guys with your show ideas. And if you're watching us live right now, please join in with your comments and questions and reach out to your industry friends right now to join us too.
Absolutely. Yeah, this is going to be a great discussion. So get involved. This is a worthwhile topic. Let's hear a quick word from our sponsor, Impressions Expo. What is Impressions Expo? Impressions Expo, formerly known as ISS, is the premier trade show dedicated to the imprinted and decorated apparel industry. They have 5 shows that are produced annually in each region of the United States, including Long Beach, California, Atlantic City, New Jersey, Orlando, Florida, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and cap off the year at Fort Worth, Texas. Each of those 5 annual shows also feature over 30 seminars and hands-on workshops in categories such as screen printing, embroidery, digitizing, digital decorating, and much, much more. Visit ImpressionsExpo.com for more details, and while there, use the promo code RegularGuysIE for a free expo pass. Again, make sure you visit ImpressionsExpo.com to get more details. And the Two Regular Guys look forward to seeing you there. All right. Well, thanks very much to Impressions for their support. We're looking forward to seeing what they've got in store for us for 2021. So make sure that you're signed up over there, sign up for their newsletters and all that kind of fun stuff. Plus, there's always great information over there at ImpressionsExpo.com. So,
you know, Aaron, I was working on my 2021 big book of travel, and I put all the upcoming trade shows. And gosh, there are a few in January, February, and March that are all in pencil.
you're not that ready yet.
I'm not confident enough to use the ink.
All right, good. All right, well, I've got regulators checking in here, so we appreciate you guys all checking in, and good morning to everybody. But Terry, let's get the heck out of the way here. Eric, if you'd bring Christine in for us first, and Christine, welcome in this morning. How are you?
Well, thank you, guys. The dad joke was slightly painful, but you know, I have made my peace with the dad joke. I understand it's not going away. So
I didn't like it at first, but now I've embraced it fully.
Well, you know, it's actually become kind of a thing. So there becomes a point where you just kind of have to go, okay, it's here whether I like it or not. So.
Correct. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Sometimes those things just happen, and like Terry, you just got to embrace it. And well, Christine, I am going to, we're going to basically let you kind of get this kicked off, but start off by just, you know, our listeners, if there's anybody that's been completely under a rock forever and they don't know where the heck to find you, give us your who you are real quick and talk a little about your group, and then we'll bring your guests on and be out of the way here.
Oh my goodness, that's a big question. Who am I?
well, what are you going to be when you grow up?
We don't know yet. We're still figuring that out. But what I am in a nutshell is a storyteller. My online home is a website called ChristineShreve.com. And my other online home is a group on Facebook called Women in Garment Decoration. You can find me there like all the time. Awesome. And it's a great, amazing group of really dynamic and supportive and smart women who are really working together to create a community that's a really good place and a helpful place to be. So I'm really, really, I actually realized about a week ago that we passed our year anniversary in June.
Wow.
I'm just amazingly, I'm sorry, I just saw a comment from Renee.
Yeah, I saw that earlier.
She said it was a little cheesy, Christine. That's a good one, Renee. I love it. Okay, sorry. Anyway, got distracted. But Women in Garment Decoration was kind of the genesis. Well, actually, this particular podcast that we're doing today was the genesis for the group. I think in the second one of these that we did, we talked about, there should be a group.
Yeah.
And then I started the group. And so that's why you two are our fairy grandfathers. Exactly. Or godfathers. I guess I can't call you grandfathers. I keep forgetting.
Terry's a grandfather. I have not reached that status yet.
Five times.
Five-time grandfather.
Six in February.
The first time I came up with the grandfather label, there was some protest. So I went with godfathers instead.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
That is basically true. So good. And that's where the group came from. And then the podcast happens quarterly or sometimes more frequently than that, depending on what kind of topics we have. And the goal is really just to kind of put women's issues out there, because that's sometimes a problem that people don't always understand the challenges and some of the issues that might face women. So we're trying to bring some of those things to light and discuss them, not in a punitive way and not in a we hate men way, because obviously we like men, but in a, hey, this is a thing and maybe we need to look at it kind of way.
Sure. And honestly, that's what I love about this is that, you know, you're doing this inside of a program called The Two Regular Guys, you know?
Yes.
So hopefully people understand.
Absolutely hilarious.
Yes, indeed. All right. Well, Christine, enough of us. Let's get rid of the two regular guys. And I'm going to let you handle kind of getting your guests, let them introduce themselves and whatnot, if that's okay.
Okay.
And so, Eric, if you'll just dump Terry and I and bring on the guests and away we go.
Bye, guys. Bye. And Aaron, you'll give me the high sign?
Will do, for sure.
Okay. There's Debbie. Okay, ladies.
Hi.
Welcome. Thank you for being here. First things first, if you could both, let's start with Debbie. Debbie, tell me a little bit about yourself, where people can find you, what your business is, all that.
I am Debbie Milkey. I own Sport Kids Couture. It was LTD, but I'm just having a new website put up, and I'm going to go with Sport Kids Couture to let everyone know that I do clothing, and I do lots of a lot of bling. But I've been in business since 1995, and I also have had a very successful nail salon for 1980 and a boutique. And that's kind of how it all evolved, because the ladies always wanted something different and sparkly. And I sold a lot of retail stuff. Okay. And I bought a t-shirt machine in 1980, a used one, and just did transfers. And I have three girls who played sports. So once they started into the sports, the stuff was so ugly. I'm like, I'm going to get that thing out and see what I can do.
There you go.
I mean, I have a whole shop full of equipment and lots of work. And
you're happy.
Mm-hmm. And I'm home. I mean, I had space out for many, many years, but I moved home 11 years ago and I haven't been happier.
Oh, so, home is great. And Kelly, we know you're the crystal ninja, but tell us what that means.
Well, good morning, everyone. My name is Kelly DeVries. My company is Crystal Ninja, and it started as a hobby about 16 years ago, just kind of decorating cell phones and gifts for friends. And now it's a full-fledged nightmare. I mean, a wonderful home business. Small business. But so it's been a long journey, and along the way from just doing so many projects, we got bigger and bigger projects. And along the way, I invented a tool called the Crystal Katana. A katana is a sword for a ninja. And I now have 4 patents on this tool, soon to be 5. So something I never thought I would be into. I never wanted to be my own boss at all. I still don't. I hired someone to be my boss. So some of us that have been in the business for a long time don't want to be here at all, but here I am. So, hey, good morning, everybody.
Good morning, everybody. And I love the hair color, by the way. I don't think I've seen the purple before.
Thank you. It's this color number, you can call it C19. It's definitely Corona, 19. So it's morphing.
All right. Well, to get to our topic for today, because we could go on just chatting forever, but we need to put some information out there and help some people. So what we're talking about today is ways to inspire more women to start businesses. So the first thing that I want to ask you ladies is, what inspired you to start your business? Because I think that's the place to start. And Kelly, I'm going to start with you on that one. What made you start Crystal Ninja?
I kind of practiced along the way. I was a professional graphic designer and did freelance at night after my day job of being graphic design. So I kind of started small, learning how to bill for my time and price things. And then I was also, the whole time I was in graphics, I was in ceramics and mosaics. So that was like a kind of a prep for all of this. Learning how to go to street fairs and shows like that, trying to get into art galleries, applying for hundreds of galleries, never once getting into any of them. Like the whole prep for all of those 15 years before I even did this is what helped me do better at this. And I still would love to learn a lot more about how to do this, because I still feel like I never learned, how to do it right. But I think along my way of just being a hobby and say, oh, you could sell this. And I'm like, okay. So I started with the cell phones and put a few on eBay. And I think one of my first ones, I did like a tree frog design that his feet wrapped around the phone and put it on eBay for $1,200. And that made me enough money to buy a new cell phone and all of the crystals to do another design. And so I kind of did that for a few weeks and months, just kind of test the waters and said, there's actually a market out there. So after of doing like, I call it my personal apprenticeship, because there was no one to teach me how I was doing. But since it was just to me, mosaics, but smaller, it was like a natural transition. Sure. And ended up, taking one credit card and buying, $2,000 in supplies of just the crystals, which doesn't get you very far. But it gave me a nice library of colors to be able to do those custom jobs. And from there, I just built my library, and I kind of worked for about 3 or 4 years as a hobby, just building that library of colors and kind of learning the different paints and the different coatings, because all cell phones have different, you know, covers and sure. Well, even before covers, but learning all of those paint processes is what really helped me be so confident even today in all the different materials. And then there's always, what glue? Well, there's hundreds of glues, and I use about 120 of those glues. So it's a constant learning of what will react to different things. And that might be what kept me in it so long, is the challenge of, well, what's going to stick to this or what's going to stick to that? And it just kind of grew from there. And then I worked for two other companies that had their websites established and did a lot of custom work, tons of celebrity work, blah, blah, blah. soon to be where I was coming home after my day job and had 4 and 5 of my friends here working at the dining room table, all doing projects. And I have a wonderful husband who has supported me the whole way. And right in, 2008, 2009, right when the recession hit, we actually bought a brand new home. And then I was like, honey, can I quit my day job and be a professional bedazzler? Yeah, right. So let's just say I never forgot how to collect cans to pay for bills. And it was pretty rough those next 3 years, but we made it through it. And here I am now, and I get, you know, flown around the world to do projects and to teach. And it's been a ride that I never, ever expected or wanted. So I keep joking with my boss lady that I hired that I'm going to have a Willy Wonka day. I'm going to disappear after I give it away.
It sounds like it's been quite a story.
Goodness. Yes. Wow. Yeah, quite a journey.
All right. Debbie, what inspired you or what got you going? I know you said your girls had ugly clothes.
Yes, they did. They went to parochial schools, and, you know, they didn't emphasize anything cute ever. And then I put them at the all-girls high school, and that's when I'm like, okay, they were still selling stuff from 15 years before my girls got there. And my oldest is going to be 40, so it was a long time coming. And it was really hard for me to bust into that group because they're very loyal to their supply. And to this day, I don't sell them a whole lot. But the lack of cute, girly designs. And then, you know, my youngest one went to Western Kentucky for merchandising, marketing, and design. So she is, and also has her own business now in Baltimore, and her husband's active duty Air Force. So she follows, you know, wherever they send him, she sets up her shop, and she does extremely well. But it's just all about the girly stuff. You know, people want, it's more my niche. You know, I mean, I do a lot of regular stuff, but I typically, you know, I bought that Pro Spangle machine, and I typically, lots of rhinestones, more so Pro Spangle for me now than the rhinestones. But I did so many rhinestones. I mean, I honestly funded her entire wedding by selling Boxercraft yoga pants. And 2 weeks before that wedding, my husband said, are you going to tell me how much money you need?
No.
And I'm like, I go, yeah, I got most of it. And then like the day, he's still writing checks when they're here doing the makeup and stuff. He goes, am I paying for any of this? I go, Yeah, you are. After the fact. But no, I mean, I sold thousands of pairs of those damn yoga pants with just glitter down the leg, and I outlined them in rhinestones. And everywhere I do a lot of on-site vending. So everywhere I went, I mean, I saw those yoga pants. They called me from Boxercraft and said, what are you doing to these? And I wouldn't tell them because they were all blank. I'm like, nope, forget it. I need the revenue. So right. That's, I just always keep with more the girly thing. And Kelly knows exactly what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Men don't hear it, but girls, and it's a competition at those cheer events and stuff. All those moms, they have to buy, you know, upsell the next person behind them. They want to buy everything. So it's been good until this hit for me.
Yeah. Well, I do want to talk about, so basically both of you, it sounds like you kind of found something that you loved and cared about, and then you made it your business. So I guess the first question, and I have to say before I, when I knew we were going to do this, I did a bunch of research and I read some stuff that just made me like want to stab people. So I'm a little passionate about this subject now, because one of the things that a lot of the articles said about why women don't start a business is because they don't have confidence. And so I want to talk about that a little bit. Is there, first of all, okay, let's go at it this way. How do we inspire women to have more confidence? What do we need to put out there? Is it, well, let's just leave it open like that. What do we need to put out there to help other women be able to do what we're all doing? Is that an open-ended? Debbie, I'm hitting you with this one because it's a fun one.
I think they need to, if they're really considering it as for a business, I think that the research, they need to research more. I think so many people are at Hobby Lobby buying, or Joann's buying those crickets, and then they get them and they think, oh, wow, this is cool. Oh, I can't do anything. I can't do this. And like, oh, I want to print white with this. I'm like, you can't ever print white with that. I mean, just things like that. People need to research and maybe concentrate on one, be confident in one application.
Okay.
That's where I think that would be the best place to start.
So figure out the one thing you want to do, learn about it, and then get good at that first.
And really consider buying professional equipment and not those, no offense, but they're like a little toy. And for, you know, not all that much more, you can, I mean, a Cameo would be better than that, or, you know, whatever.
Right.
Check out and research your purchases before you buy that baby little press that you've wasted. I don't even know how much those things cost, but you see it on there all the time. Well, I can't do this with it. No, just think, you just threw away what, between two things, probably $700 or $800. Mm-hmm. So I think you need to just research a little bit more.
That's a good point. What do you think, Kelly?
I practiced for about 4 years on just gluing before I really attempted to be professional with it. I kept my day job that was still 50 hours a week and came home every single night, every single weekend. There were no, let's go barbecue, let's go to the movies. I shut it down because I wanted to learn how to do this. And there was no YouTube back then. There was no, how do you, what glue? Blah, blah, blah. There was nothing. So it was all trial and error. And I probably invested thousands into ruining things to learn how to do them correctly. And that's what most people can't fathom, is spending legit 4 years or more of every waking moment that I was not at my day job preparing for my night job. So, and I don't have children. I was blessed to not have children. And so I, every waking moment was spent studying what I was like, how does this, how, why did this not work? What happened here? And how do I charge for this? And now it just took years to practice before I was even ready to be professional. And then counting up all the projects I might have laid out for a couple months to be able to quit my day job of 10 years with full benefits and then just do this. But it wasn't just to quit your day job of 40 hours and then have a new day job of 40 hours. You now have a day job, a night job of at least 100 hours a week, or you will not survive. That was my opinion to myself. And people say, oh, you work too much. You never go anywhere. You never do anything. Well, if I am off shopping at the mall, I'm not looking for a client or gluing a project or practicing on a new formula. And that was just kind of written in my DNA. You have to be here working or you're not going to survive. And it's still in me to do that. It's very difficult for me to go enjoy myself anywhere. Even our friends Todd and Corey got to see it at their wedding. I bring my laptop everywhere. And if there's a moment where it's friend time, I will close the laptop and I'm enjoying the friends for, I'll give you 15 minutes and then I'm back on the laptop. But I have worn myself into. And that's maybe one of the reasons why I'm considered one of the best in the world at what I do. Right. that's all I do. So, and I
enjoy sacrifice to get that reputation.
Exactly. So it's hard to explain to all the thousands of, like you said, Cricut and all those machines, which are wonderful if you can just practice with them. But someone's like, oh, I ruined $50 of supplies last weekend. And I was like, why don't you try ruining $5,000? And then you really learn. So, it's just, it's cute, you know, like practicing with those types of projects is cute. And then they might make five cups and they try to go sell them at a mart, and they don't know why their stuff fell apart because you didn't test anything. You just went at it. And then, it takes a lot of practice and to tear up your stuff to know what it can go through. So when your client comes back to you and says, oh, well, I'm missing two stones. Oh, well, I've, you know, this whole thing. I'm like, what has pizza ground into it? You let your 2-year-old chew on it. Like, so you have to understand how things are going to last in the public's hands and go from there. But it's difficult to explain to the new industry of people that it didn't happen overnight. I was an overnight success in 10 years.
I know. I want to grab a few comments here real quick. Eric, if you could put up Marshall's comment. Well, okay, that's another one. If it, there we go. Start with writing a business plan and learn who your ideal customers are and how you can solve their problems. I think that's an important step in starting a new business too. And then also, Eric, can we have Lisa Shaw's comment about practicing? Thank you for your comment on practicing. Become an expert before you expect to get paid for your expertise.
Yep.
And that's true.
Yep.
So I think that's very true. But I think one of the things that we were just talking about, and I want to circle back to it because it was another one of my questions, but I know I've encountered people even since I'm a baby entrepreneur because I kind of jumped unexpectedly due to COVID, but I have people, oh, it's so great. You're home. You have all this time. And I'm just like, dude, do you even know? And so I guess that's another question. How, and you even see that from a lot of like people who are supposed to be experts that are writing for magazines or whatever. And they're like, oh, it's great. You have your own business. And how do we get the message out there that this is a deal, people. This is like, I mean, this takes sacrifice and it takes work and it takes study. How do we get that message out there? How do we help women have a more realistic understanding of what it's going to cost them to do what they want to do, I guess. Kelly, I'm going to throw that one at you.
I think to be transparent about if someone's asking you, oh, I want to do what you do, how do I get started? I am honest. I will bring them into my whole office and warehouse and show them, you know, here's where I started. I have a huge cabinet of what I think are, you know, ugly items, but they're all samples of what we've learned along the way and projects that we failed at and had to redo. And I said, here's a whole cabinet of about $20,000 in items that were failures. If you can comprehend the work that it took to get to those failures, come on in. But it's in it. And I've had a handful of, you know, friends that come into your life and that they want to help you. And then they try to go compete with you or whatever that word might be, but they don't hang out long. They realize really how difficult it is. And I try to always be honest. Like if it were me 10 years ago, 15 years ago, I would tell myself, go to medical field. My husband's sitting on the couch right now. He only works 14 days a month. And, you know, he has a better, I guess, living, whatever you call it. But that's what he chose, and he loves it. If it's not bleeding, he doesn't care about it. It's not how you do that. But maybe I could do some medical transcripts or something. I don't know. But to study art all your life and struggle, you know, this hard all your life, and people call me the queen of bling, I can't stand the queen of anything. What queen do you know that works this hard, really? I mean, I can't stand being called the queen of anything because I work all the time and it's just not my thing. I'm not the queen of anything, but
I want to stick a pin in that one because I want to circle back to that a little bit. But Debbie, I want to ask you the same question I just asked Kelly. What do we need to do to help women get what's involved in having your own business and understand it?
Well, I think the community college, you know, there's some good resources out there that walk you through and, you know, try to give you the outline, some good steps in, you know, trying to start. But what slays me, and just on social media and whatnot, but are the people who, okay, they buy that $149 printer, or they did buy $149 printer sublimation, and they've taken an order for 24 shirts and they've never printed a shirt in their life.
That's it. Yep. That's
it. Or rhinestones. They've never, or you can press this with a household iron. I'm like, who told you that? No, you cannot. Why would you? And then they say, oh, I don't know what to charge for 24 shirts. That's why you need to do some research.
Yep.
Or how weird, okay, or they have 24 shirts and they order 24 shirts from Jiffy. They don't get one extra one. And then, oh my God, this ruined. What am I going to do?
Yeah.
She knows. She knows exactly what I'm talking about.
Yeah. I mean, I get it too. Okay. So there's a couple things I want to revisit here and I'm trying to make in my head, which, okay, let's go with this one first. So one of the things that bugs me a lot, and Kelly touched on it a little bit, is you either get people who are very dismissive of women as business owners. They're hobbyists, they're MLM, they're, you know, they're selling, I don't know, Avon or whatever it is, you know, like every woman, that's the business they have. Like, they're not serious. Or you get the people who latch on to one particular woman who's been quite successful, and suddenly she becomes the queen, or, you know, like this golden goddess of a woman who has done something that, you know, everybody couldn't do if they were willing to put in the time and the effort and the, you know. So it's either like feast or famine, it seems like. And I want to talk about that because I think both sides of that equation kind of minimize the women who are actually doing the work. Let's throw this out there and see. How do we change the conversation about women business owners so that it's respectful and realistic? Let's go with that. Debbie, what do you think? I know that's a tough one, but
I'm trying to think of how I want to say this.
Well, you know what? I say things, just go.
I think if you think it through and you have a more a definite plan, I think you'll be looked at, you know, I want to get to this point. Cause it's not anything you can just do overnight. Like she said, 10 years and I mean, if I had a wall of shame out there, I throw it in a box. I don't know what anybody else does, but
I hang it up.
I've been collecting stuff for a long time, and you know, especially when something new comes out, like I'm having the worst time with that white toner printer. You know, that there's a big learning curve. I don't care how long you've been doing this, but people have to expect it. Just because you want to do it doesn't mean it's going to work. You have to go through the entire process. So if you want to be taken, you know, seriously, you know, write out a plan, decide what, you know, in steps, what you want to do about it. And I think if you need funding or whatever, you want to go to a bank, they're more apt to talk to you if you have some, you know, good laid plans out there.
So if you want to be taken seriously, take yourself seriously.
Yes, basically. Absolutely. And I mean, no offense to the multi-level people, marketing people, but you know, there's a lot of people typically that start with that stuff. And, you know, it's really hard to continue with, you know, to make any money, because you're usually making money for the person at the top. We all know that.
Yeah.
So I think in that respect, yeah, there's some Mary Kay ladies that are heavy, you know, there's heavy hitters and everything. But I'm sure eventually when they started doing better, they kind of planned it out.
Mm-hmm.
So I just think planning is a big key to it all.
Well, and I think that's a very good point, that if you want to be taken seriously, you have to take yourself seriously, which means you need to do the work. So yep. Kelly, what do you think about that one?
The same thing, to take yourself seriously, but not too seriously. I mean, I try to always laugh at myself all the time. And I definitely learned from when I make huge mistakes that cost me a lot of money. But I just laugh like, oh, well, here goes another $5,000. Like, you know, let's learn from that and not do it again. But from just being at my age, I've had a lot of jobs before, even just in graphic design. I worked for large architecture firms, hundreds of men. You learn how to work with men. You learn how to behave a certain way. I never dated at work. That was a huge thing if you're in that environment. You'll get a lot of respect if you don't do that. I worked in a shipyard with hundreds of men. I was a welder in a shipyard. Never date or flirt with any kind of man in a shipyard. You will get, you already enter the field with tons of, oh, she's just dating the foreman. Oh, she's just, you know, blah, blah, blah. Never do that. But what you do do is you take their money. You do the job better than they do, and you smile while you do it, and you clock in and out. And it's not about feelings with those jobs or even with this job. But that has taken me years to not get my feelings hurt when someone copies my artwork, someone steals my tool. Mm-hmm. And it's not about feelings. It's about business. So you have to separate the two. And my husband has helped me learn that a ton. He's ex-military. It's not about feelings. This is the job. This is the tone you will take. And they're not going to get their feelings hurt because it's their business is you're they're buying from you or selling for you or vice versa. It's not about feelings. And we have to take that out. And that's the hardest part for all of us to do is to not get your feelings hurt. So I struggle every single day. Every single day when someone has used to be my wonderful customer and I had a wonderful relationship with them, and then now they sell the knockoff tool. Like, what is that? What happened there? Well, the business part of that is a lovely cease and desist. That's the business part. And that's what's coming. So, you know, it's like, oh, well, I tried to educate you on what a trademark was and what a patent was, and here's a little more education. Here's a cease and desist. So it's just like, I've had to learn about it and spend tens of thousands of dollars learning about it. And that's just, it's, we put our feelings into everything, and it's just not that. You just have to take that part out, keep it business because it is business. And that's the hardest part for me by far. Because I love what I do and I put my heart and soul into it. And you think everyone would appreciate your heart and soul, but they don't. They don't care. So you got to go into it with, well, you know, and read those emails, not with any kind of tone, just read them normal. And it's difficult. It is so difficult. So I wish I had, you know, wiser words, but
those are good words. And I have to say, even though I'm not calling out all the comments that are coming through, thank you everybody for all the comments. I'm seeing so many people saying great conversation and that we're making good points, and I wish I could call them all out, but we'd have to be here for like 4 hours. So we're not going to do that. But one of the things that I do want to talk about, because I think it is an important thing, and I think it's something that we need to have more of, is that there's kind of a lack of role models or mentors for women who are looking to start a business. I mean, you can find, you know, like I said, we like men. We think men business owners are great, but you can find male business owners everywhere. And a lot of the women that you find, they're either doing like, it seems like it's harder to find women who are talking about business in a business-like sort of way. It seems more like a lot of times the conversation is, oh, have more time for your kids and have more time for you, you know, and not like, here's how to be a female business owner and here's the pitfalls you're going to face and here's the problems that you might encounter and here's the great things about it. And so I guess that's the question that I have, is how do we make more conversations about more of those types of conversations and more role models and mentors available? And Kelly, I'm going to put you on the spot. Got any thoughts on this one?
That again is the most difficult part. I'm going to get my laptop charger here. For some reason I forgot to do that today. Thank you. And again, my husband's helping me bring in some parts, parts and pieces. And will you move the umbrella? The fan is getting a little hot. It's very difficult. I get people asking me all the time, will you be my mentor? Will you be my mentor? And I think I have a little, because I didn't have a mentor. And to me, that word, it has, I don't know why it has negative connotations to it, because when people come at me to be their mentor, and I'm like, okay, sure, I'll help you. Well, what they're wanting to do is just sit here with a notepad and learn and take notes about how I do everything I do. And where did you get those files? And how did you create that? And what did you do? And it's like draining. It's so draining. And I'm like, yeah. What is a mentor? What does that mean? Like, you didn't do any of the work. I kind of gave you a few steps and then you go do them, but you just wanted to take and take, and now I'm drained, and now I don't like people, and I'm a lovely introvert, and I love quarantine. What?
me too. Quarantine is great.
That word mentor is very strange to me. I you know, it's just very strange to me. I don't mind helping people, and now I've learned how to, I've learned slightly how to teach online. I still have a lot to do. And then that can be a mentorship, where you're just, you know, teaching online and not physically having people pull at you.
Right.
But that way they're forced to do the work. Like, you can, and you can give someone your supply list and they can copy you as much as they want, but they'll never be you. They'll never be able to deliver it the way you can. They'll never learn to, that I always, no matter what job I'm on or project I do, I have two backups. When this one fails, I have a backup. When that one fails, I have another one. That's the part I never teach anybody. And then when you come work for me, you start learning, where's your backup? You have a brand new pack of markers. Where's your backup? You have a, you know, like, I have two and three of everything. Whenever you guys see me on the road, I have a backup somewhere, because somewhere along the way, something's going to fail at a trade show. That tape is going to not stick, or something's going to happen. And you have to have a backup. And that's hard for me to teach anyone to understand till they have the failure when it happens. And so to be a mentor, to me, I don't think I could do it, because it's just, it's draining, because you don't get the right person to be the mentor to. So I don't know. And I would love to have a mentor as well. But being in your guys' group really, really helps me understand other parameters and other kind of, you know, businesses that I'm not in, but we all struggle with the same kind of deals about client behavior and things like that, which is, you know, that's the worst of it. We can't be in business without clients. You have to figure out how to work with clients and customers to be in business. It's like a constant struggle, but I'm learning to deal with it until it's Willy Wonka day and I'm out.
Well, I think you made a really good point. And before I put this question to you, Debbie, I just wanted to mention that part of having a mentor is being willing to do the work yourself.
Yes.
You can't go to some, if you want to go to someone and have them tell you everything you need to do, and then you go do it and be amazingly successful, then you're not looking for a mentor. You're looking for somebody to hand you basically turnkey business. You're looking for someone to put it all in a box and go here. And if you do the thing that that people who want that don't understand is that part of what makes you successful, Kelly, or you successful, Debbie, or me successful, or anybody, is the intangible stuff that you can never give somebody in a box, right? And they can take it away. And it's wanting, right, to work hard. It's having ideas. It's trying to be better. It's all that kind of stuff. And I'm sorry, I'm ranting, but I'm so with you on this one, because, right, I've had that too, where there's people who say, I want to start a business. Can you tell me what I need to do? And I'm, yes, like, dude, if you, yes, can't Google what you need, how to start a business, then you should, yeah, not start a business.
Yeah, right. Yeah, it's for sure. And then I just recently, last summer, because we've all been home for a year, I had a job site to do in Houston, and I'm on site and having to deal with, you know, a full construction, the beeping from the forklifts were going, all the distractions, and I'm a very quiet type, you know, when I glue my stuff, it's a very quiet thing. And then I invited my sister to come help and hold the camera and get things, because it wasn't really a two-person job, but it sure was nice to have her there. And while I'm filming, because the client now wanted a time lapse, so we had to kind of do things all differently. Okay. They wanted the process, and you have to show everything and have and be tucked in and not be, you know, weird in the camera, because it's going to all be filmed. I'm ironing on this wall, and I look away at something. I don't know if she was doing something or I was just wasn't paying attention. And I'm not a hot fix person. I really have only dabbled in it for my 10 years. I don't like it. And now I got hired to do a hot fix wall. on the job site and I'm just ironing away and I'm like, yeah, I just burned that. And then I had to whisper, to my sister, I need you to go find me an X-Acto knife because for some reason my knife wasn't in my bag. My backup knife wasn't in my job bag. And I'm like, where's my knife? Anyway, she had to go around Houston for 2 hours to find an X-Acto knife and finally found one. And I was able to shave out the part that I burned. I burned a $5,000 wall on camera. Yeah. How do you mentor that? How do you explain to people that part? But
well, and that's the thing. But Debbie, I want to put this question to you too, because I think it's an important thing because people who, I mean, it's documented. People who don't see people like them doing certain things don't think they can do those things. So role models are important. Mentors are important. But how do we make that relationship work, I guess? There's a big question for you, Debbie. Solve that one for us.
I was on the first leg of that. But I just think going back to the mentoring thing, I hate to say, but I'm too busy to help. I'm sure Kelly agrees. I don't really have that kind of time to hold someone's hand. I don't mean to sound so negative. No one helped us. We had to figure it out. And you said it best. I think people just think there's a recipe for success with this. And I think it's hard to find a mentor. I believe somebody just in the group the other day, that was an awesome comment where she said, I'll help you, but I'll charge you $125 an hour.
Yeah, that was Carolyn. For sure.
Okay, maybe I'd give you a couple tips, but I don't have, a week or 4 days or what. If you're willing to pay up, maybe. And I did that back in the nail business years ago because I traveled for a big nail company and taught classes when I first started. And it was the same thing. Yeah, you want to pay my airline ticket? I'll come and show you how to set up your salon. I can show you really good how to do nails, but there, you know what? There's just some people that just couldn't get it. So. Right. It might not be for you.
Right.
The mentor thing, I mean, that would be great in a perfect world, but I mean it.
I'm sorry. I don't mean to laugh, but that's so true.
Really? Who's got time?
It's very true. But I also think one of the things you just mentioned it, there's a couple things I want to pull out of what we were talking about here. One is there are places where you can learn. There are Facebook groups. There are companies have groups. They have websites. They have online classes. There are places that you can learn stuff if you want to take the initiative to do it. So the a lot of the information is out there. And the other thing is that, you have to take the initiative. I think that's what all three of us have said. It can't be us telling you how to do it. It has to be you going, I want to do this and I'm going to do it and I will do everything I can to learn how to do it. But I might ask you a question or two. Sure. And, and that's a whole different scenario than I want to sit at your feet and learn everything you do. And then I'll go and have a huge business. And it's like, well, good luck with that. Because if I could find somebody like that, I would be there.
I would go work for them. That sounds awesome. Can you get started? Can we start tomorrow?
Over here, they're so interested in that spangle machine because they've never seen the process. And they're like, oh, I want to get one of those. I'm like, this is not a machine for somebody that thinks they might want to do this. I had to long time before I dumped that kind of money into a machine. Now that it's paid for, I'm so excited. But no, I think people just don't think things through and it looks like some big pipe dream and it's easy, but some days it's hell and they need to know that. And you know what? I want to tell people the search bar, the spotlight, whatever you call it, it works.
I love you.
In a group, where do I get the best price on shirts? You know what? If you can't figure that out, you don't need to be doing this.
Right.
Some tough love. I love it. Okay. No, you're right. You're absolutely right.
And
I think there's more of that stuff that needs to be said. I think sometimes with women, especially, we're a little too sweet about it. And it's like, you know what? You're a grown up. You have to do the work on it. You yep. have to take the chances. You have to deal with the stuff that, excuse my language, you know, and there's going to be days where people are going to be mean, or, you know, things aren't going to work, or you're going to burn a $5,000 wall or whatever it is. And that's part of it. And you got to be able to roll with that. And you got to be able yep. to bounce back yeah. from that. And if you can't, yeah. and I could rant for like 5 more years, and I have about 49 more questions, and it's like almost at bonus time now. So I'm gonna look over here and see what Aaron is. Oh good, we can do bonus time. Yay. Okay. Aaron said we have some bonus time. So if you ladies can hang with me for a little bit more, because I really want to talk about the whole thing of how do we get women to take themselves seriously? Because I think a lot of what we've been talking about here, I mean, obviously both of you are serious business women. You've been doing this for a long time. You've been successful at doing this, but what, I don't even know what the question is that I want to put out there, but I guess I'm going to put it like this. What is it in our culture that tells women that what they do shouldn't be taken seriously? This is like a big question to end on, but I want to ask, because I think, I mean, I know my, now granted, I'm not close to my family. My father thought for 8 years into my term as director of marketing in NMART that I was a secretary.
Yeah.
And I was like, no, Dad, I run marketing for like several companies. And he's like, oh, I was like, dude, seriously? But I mean, there's kind of the assumption, like if a man and a woman walk into a place, they're going to assume that the woman is the assistant and the man is the boss, regardless of what it actually is. And I guess what I'm asking in a really like awful, not coherent way is how do we, is this something that women need to do, that we need to stand up more and say, we're business owners and you're wrong and we deserve to be taken seriously? And Debbie's nodding. So that's my question, Debbie.
If you want it bad enough, you're going to do it. You're going to figure, you have to figure it out on, you know, on your own. No one is going to hand you the recipe to it. So, I mean, yeah, to be taken, I mean, go buy it, try to go buy a car by yourself. The first thing they asked
me. Oh my God, single woman. Hello, I've done that.
No, I was going to go yesterday just to look. The car that I got a year and a half ago, I hate it. And I want to get rid of it, but I don't really want to spend the money. But I thought before I do buy something as quickly as I bought this one, I'm going to really, really do my research. But the first thing they're going to say to me is, well, do you have a husband? And yeah, I do. But, this car I bought, you know, he does not influence really the decision. But I'm just saying you have to be strong and you have to come across confident. Otherwise, mamby pamby. And if you really want it, you got to go for it.
I totally identify with the car thing because, yeah, single woman, I don't have a husband. So obviously, I know nothing about anything. I'm like, no, I did my research. I know what I want. Thank you.
Yeah, exactly.
But okay, Kelly, how about you? What do you think about that one? How do we, what is it that we need to do as women, as a society, as fix all of society for us, Kelly? Will you do that for me?
I have all the solutions. I have all the answers.
Oh, great. Let's go.
I think my family was always pretty supportive, especially if I was, you know, doing something that was male oriented. Through working through college, I worked for my family's sign company, where as my uncle passed away at a very young age, his wife took it all over, and who was their only neon blower and the only female neon blower in the whole state of Louisiana was my grandmother. So I came wow. from a strong line of women. And, you know, even though that wasn't my whole background is to just be in signs, it definitely prepped me for everything I'm doing now. And my family was, you're going to go to college, you're going to do this and do this. And I'm like, okay, well, I'm going to go to college for art. And they're like, what? Mm. And then they're, you know, just maybe 10 years ago, they realized how really good I was. because I did go study art and learned, I didn't learn a lot, but I learned enough. But then when I said, oh, I'm gonna go take some welding classes, and they didn't take that very seriously because I said, you know, because I wanted to learn structure for when I do sculpture. And that made sense because I'm in art, you know.
Sure.
And then taking the classes from the real school in town where all the menfolk went, and I happened to I tested higher and better than a lot of the menfolk that have been doing it for 20 years. They offered me a job, and my mom said, hell yeah, you're going to do it. And my dad said, oh, you're not going out there. And so what did we do? I had my aunt that had the, you know, fabrication sign company for 25, 30 years. And my mom, we kind of fudged on my application. And, but it took me passing those physical tests to get into that field. And I got into a job that required 7 years of welding experience. And I had 5 months because I was that good. But you have to want it more than they want you to not be there. You have to outwork them. And you have to do it professionally, and you have to leave the feelings at the door. And that's, again, that's the hardest thing to do. I got called the C word every single day. Didn't bother me a bit because I knew I wasn't. I got called all kind of horrible things because a rumor would happen to go around if I smiled at someone, or like, it was a horrible environment that I kind of think everyone should go through to learn that you're there to work too, and they're going to realize it. And once they realize that I'm running all my own lines, those cords weighed 200 pounds and I'm dragging them across the ship by myself. I didn't have anybody do any of my stuff or pull my tools for me or do anything. They start to get respect for you. And if there's still that, you know, you're just a girl, you shouldn't be out here. Well, I'm going to take your job. How about that? And then have them with your time too. But you know, it's just, it sucked, but that's, if you want to be in a serious position where you're working right up against the serious men, you have to take that attitude. And sometimes it works out, sometimes it doesn't, but that's the chance you have to take. And it's just as difficult now being in the field that I'm in, because everyone thinks, oh, you're still your professional bedazzler. How come it's a bedazzle when I do it, but when a man does it, it's jewelry, it's high end. It's, you know, it's what the celebrities want, paying from the men, the jewelers. But I can make your car. Like, what? I don't get it. So it's that attitude that they take. And when someone says, oh, you're a bedazzler, my aunt bedazzles, I'm like, well, you might want to Google me. And then they do. And I don't want to say anything. So it's just kind of like it. But it took me those years to get that street cred behind me to understand that I'm not just bedazzling. I improved the industry. I've helped the industry. And I'm setting standards for the industry now. So it just kind of like, it's not easy, but here we are.
Well, and I think, I mean, I totally agree with everything you said. What I think is sad about that, though, is men automatically get credibility.
Sure.
Just because they're guys. And, you know, and it's like, there's something, I long for the day when a woman can say I'm good at something and people go, okay, you don't have to, I don't have to Google you. I'm just going to take you on your word.
That's true. That's very true. Yep.
Did the work. I agree totally. That's how things are. And they still are that way. And that's, and I think we're probably all roughly around the same age. So I think we probably came up at the, through the same cultural shifts and everything. You know, and I mean, I remember I grew up with a mother that was like, your goal in life is you find a man, because a man will and don't even get me started about the man she was married to and how that worked out. But, you know, that whole thing of, you know, it wasn't about what I was going to be. It was about who I could be so that I could find a man who would then give me a life. And I was like, no, I'm going to have my own life, which is probably why I'm still single at 51. But anyway, I want to read a comment. Eric, can we have Leanne Putman Thomas's comment about why not? Okay. Regarding the last question, which was a couple questions ago, but I like this comment. I'm in my early 50s starting this journey. What I've learned is age helps. Instead of dwelling on having the imposter syndrome, I began to change my inner dialogue from no one will want to buy my stuff to why not me? Why can't it be me that makes a name for myself in this business? It can be me. And I think that is a great comment, number one, and thank you for saying that. And it's also an attitude. why can't it be us as women? Why can't we be strong women and strong business owners and good at what we do and unapologetic about being good at what we do, which is the other thing. I get so tired of being good at something and then having to worry that people are annoyed that I'm good at something. Just stop being an insecure world.
Right.
Yeah. Sorry, I'm ranting, but I mean, it's frustrating. It's frustrating to sometimes live in a world that wants you to be smaller than you are.
Of course.
Very frustrating. So, and wow, we're almost at about 10 minutes after. And okay, Aaron, I'm going to call it because if I don't, we're going to be here for another hour. And as much as I would love that, I think you need to pop back in and we need to call bonus time or, oh, there he's coming. Here he is. Yay.
There we go. There we go. Call bonus
time or we're going to be here for like 5 years.
Well, we were just sitting, listening intently and learning a ton. Before we let you guys go, can just because it's around the picture like this, tell us where people can find you. Tell us where people can learn more, connect with you. Kelly, go ahead and start us off if you don't mind.
The website is crystalninja.com. I'm also on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and just recently, TikTok. Thank you, Matt. Yeah.
All right. TikTok. Nice. And Debbie, how about you?
I just this week, a new website went live and it's still a mess, but sportkidscouture.com. And I'm trying to bring over all the old and the new. So wait a week or so and hopefully it'll change up. And I'm going to get a new Facebook page and I'm just, I've got a new logo, new everything. So the pandemic has given me a little bit of time to resort things out. So.
Nice. Nice. Okay. Well, we'll wait a week and then go check that out. That's awesome. And Christine, one more time, where can people find you and maybe the group?
I do want to say real quick, Kelly, you were awesome, but Debbie, and I appreciate it very much, but Debbie, I think this was your first time doing one of these. Yes. You were amazing. You were so amazing. Good job. I really am impressed and thank you so much for doing this.
I will.
Where am I? ChristineShreve.com is my website and Women in Garment Decoration is the Facebook group. If you are a woman in garment decoration and you aren't already a member, please come and join us. We're an amazing group. We have lots of good discussions like this, mostly because I get pissed at stuff and I ask questions and I go, why is this like this? But we have good answers. So it's and I'm sorry, I swore. Sorry, guys. I hope I don't
it's all right. I'll send it over to the editor. So
yes, I'll send it over to the editor and they'll fix it. I think that's primarily where I am. The Women in Business podcast is coming back October 7th.
Awesome.
I'm very excited about that. And Debbie, I need to talk to you about getting you on the show. And Kelly, you and I are going to work on that when you get some time. So,
yeah.
Yay. Awesome.
Cool. Well, thank you guys so much for spending some time with us this morning and giving us lots to think about, lots of great answers, lots of great ideas. You know, you guys all work incredibly hard and it's amazing to watch. So thank you for being, letting us be a part of this. So
thank you for giving us the platform.
Awesome. All right, yep. Eric, you can take it away there, sir. And Terry and I will wrap this up. Terry, how are you, sir?
I'm great. That was a great show, huh?
Yeah, it's incredible. I just love the conversation, you know, and man, the strength. I first and foremost, I just want to make sure that I never cross Kelly because I'm pretty sure she, you know, she is so awesome. She is just really, really fun person to be around, but so strong. You know, I remember when I first met her. Yeah, I didn't have to go look her up on Google. I knew that she was somebody, and obviously it comes from a place of love, but it's incredible to see what these women have done and what they're doing and what they're going to continue to do. I'm excited to see Willy Wonka Day too. Where are we going to find Kelly at?
Well, and Aaron, I should share with our listeners who have been with us a long time that I took a phone call while this was going on and you graciously said, "Hey, man, we can hear you." Yeah. I was in total panic, and you're like, "Oh, just kidding."
I tried to reply as fast as I could with "just kidding," but I had to put it out there. So
I just totally stopped talking.
Yeah. It'll make you take a call during Two Regular Guys, Terry. Come on. Awesome. Well, again, thanks so much to Kelly and Debbie, and obviously Christine, for all she does to make sure that, you know, this is a discussion. You know, it's certainly not lost on me, and I don't believe it's lost on you, the fact that, you know, we can do this and we can open up our platform, the mics, to a women in garment decorating discussion on a show called Two Regular Guys. You know, exactly. It's important to us, and we appreciate being a part of that. All right, Terry. Well, let's wrap this up here. Other events coming up here real quick. Eric is got the take up happening at 2:30 Mountain Time, 3:30 Central Time, for those of you that work in the Central Time Zone, center of the universe, as Terry says. I love that. So that is happening today. It's called the Take Up, and today it's all about common embroidery questions and current cases on embroidery distortion and density. Wow, that's a lot. That's going to be a good show. You can catch it over on his Facebook page at facebook.com/Eric.Campbell, and that's ERICH.Campbell. Or you can also find him on his YouTube channel with just at Eric Campbell, ERICH again. So check that out. Also, just a reminder, Demystifying Next Level Digitizing webinar is now in recorded form. Talks about better running, bolder, more beautiful embroidery with a faster cycle from concept to completion. You can get access to that over at bit.ly/EricDD. And again, that's ERICHDD. Terry, what about you?
I have still on my schedule my complete screen printing business course at Atlas Screen Supply, November 14th and 15th. I'll keep you updated. Jeff Morgenthaler and I are going to be joining Craig Mertens on the Inksoft Digital Art Solutions webinar today at 3 o'clock Eastern, 2 o'clock Center of the Universe. We'll be talking about DTG printing. And the sales marketing staff over at Equipment Zone, we're going to be doing a lightning round webinar next Tuesday, September 22nd at 1 o'clock. And that's going to be talking about niche markets for DTG and sublimation decorating. And all of my upcoming 2021 classes and events will be at terrycombs.com under tour dates. How about you, Aaron?
First and foremost, I just saw this comment from Lisa. Says, "Congrats, Aaron and Terry, for hitting 2,000 fans. Just saw it roll over during the broadcast. Thank Sweet. You guys so much. Thanks to all the regulators for being a part of this." And she also said, "Fabulous podcast this week." And I can't agree with that more. And then as far as me, just real quick, Terry, tomorrow morning, Small Business Saturday is happening. Didn't even update it on the sheet here, but we're going to talk about when to hire, knowing when to hire or get help. And so that'll be happening at 8 a.m. tomorrow morning. And you can check that out at liveosg.com or at facebook.com/OurSuccessGroupPro. And then one last reminder, another reminder, we'll leave it at that, that we are in our, as far as our success group goes, we are in our open enrollment period for the Masters of Success program. It's a mastermind program that we're excited to kick off here. And that's going through the end of September. You can sign up to be a part of that mastermind program. Plus then you get all of the rest of the Our Success Group training on top of that mastermind group, which I'm really excited to have and get kicked off. And so you can check that out over at oursuccessgroup.com/MOS for Masters of Success. So, awesome. All right, Terry, well, we've come to the close of another show. We want to thank Christine Shree very much, Kelly and Debbie, and also thanks to Julie for her attempt. And again, get well soon there, Julie, but we'll have her on at another time with Christine, hopefully. And again, really appreciate all their time and wonderful information. Thank you, ladies, so much for making it a great show today.
Awesome. And we also want to thank our show producer, Eric Campbell. You can find him at ericcampbell.com.
Excellent. Next week, Terry, we've got a great show lined up. We've got Bill Carlin, who is the CMO of Shipmates Fulfillment. So it's going to be a great discussion, something obviously fulfillment and e-commerce and all that stuff. That's a big topic in today's world. So Bill's exactly. going to bring us a lot of wonderful information. So I look forward to tuning in next week at 10 a.m. Central Time.
Center of the universe. All right. Until then, I'm Terry Combs. He's Aaron Montgomery.
And we are the Two Regular Guys.
Thank you for listening to Two Regular Guys. Check out our website at tworegularguys.com. That's the number 2regularguys.com. You can also interact with us over at our Facebook page, facebook.com/tworegularguys, or send us a tweet, twitter.com/tworegularguys. And we have a YouTube page. You can find all that from our website, tworegularguys.com. Thanks for tuning in, and we look forward to spending some time with you again next week.